This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa salatu wa salamu ala al-Mabuth rahmatillil alameen. Nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim amma ba'd. Al-yawm 14 min shahri ربيع الأول 1443 الموافق ل لكم اليوم كم من الشهر 21 21 من شهر أكتوبر 2021 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك الداء والدواء. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So today, inshallah, we will continue from where we stopped. Bi-idhnillahi azza wa jal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from all of us. Last time, if you remember, we were talking about the saying of Mu'allif, the interpretation of the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahu alladhi khalaqa sab'a samawatin wa min al-ardi mithlahun. يتنزل الأمر بينهن لتعلموا أن الله على كل شيء قدير وأن الله قد أحاط بكل شيء علما. So we dealt with this interpretation. So let's move to the next آية إن شاء الله. قال ابن القيم رحمه الله وقال الله تعالى جعل الله الكعبة البيت الحرام قياما للناس والشهر الحرام والهدي والقلائد ذلك لتعلموا أن الله يعلم ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وأن الله بكل شيء عليم. This is an important ayah that shows how merciful is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the creation, where He placed the Kaaba, He created the Kaaba. جعل الله الكعبة البيت الحرام. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the Kaaba, you know, المكعب. يعني سميت كعبة لأنها بنيت على شكل مكعب. Mukaab is the square, right, Abdul Rahman? So that's the reason why it is called like that, because it goes against the nature of the houses of the Arabs. And this is also one of the things to be sent to those people who are trying to put doubt in the heart of the believers concerning the Kaaba that exists nowadays. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He made the Kaaba al-Bayt al-Haram. Sorry. He created the Kaaba, which is the Bayt al-Haram. Haram, Allah call it Bayt. Although there is nobody who is living in that, because Bunyat ala hadha al-shakl ala shakl buyut allati yaskunuha an-nas. And also everyone is coming, you know, it is built upon the nature of the houses which people are using for living. And also, okay, thank you, Sir Norita Q. Yeah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Ka'bat al-Bayt al-Haram. So Samaha Bayt, and He called it Bayt because it is built upon the nature of the houses where people are living. Although there is nobody who is living there, but it carries the same building, the same nature. Allah called it al-Haram. Al-Haram means the place where you cannot do everything. But there are so many things which are prohibited to be done in that place. And the Arabs also used to stay away from those people who offended them before when they see them next to the Kaaba. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to understand how much He bestowed the Arab the mercy. Otherwise, they will finish themselves. You know, they are fighters, you know, for silly things they can fight each other. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them ability to have some break in their life. One of them is the existence of the Kaaba, you know, that place which is demarcated by Ibrahim alayhi salam. And people don't fight in that place, you know. They try to show love, you know, and cooperation and help and forgiveness when they reach that area. So Allah says, جَعْلَ اللَّهُ الْكَعْبَةَ الْبَيْتَ الْحَرَامَ قِيَامًا لِلنَّاسِ. You know, قِيَامًا لِلنَّاسِ أَيْ مَا يَقُومُ بِهِ مَعَاشُهُمْ. You know, subhanAllah, the place of comfort and peace and tranquility so that life could be comforted. You know, life can exist. Otherwise, as I said, they definitely put themselves into trouble, you know, always fighting for silly reasons. They can fight and kill themselves. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make that Kaaba, you know, as a sign whereby a person is not supposed to hate his brother and he's not supposed to fight anyone in that place. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala call it Qiyam al-Linnas. He made it as something that can help people to live, you know. SubhanAllah, helping them to survive and live. He said, وَالشَّهْرُ الْحَرَامَ. And also الشَّهْرُ الْحَرَامَ. الشَّهْرُ الْحَرَامَ is referring to Dhul-Hijjah. Or you can say الشَّهْرُ هُنَا لِلْجِنْسِ. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the Ashhur al-Haram. Ashhur al-Hurum, these are the four months which the Arabs, they are not supposed to do anything. They are not supposed to fight. They are not supposed to kill anyone. You know, they are supposed to forgive each other in those Ashhur al-Hurum. And what are these months? Dhul-Qa'dah, Dhul-Hijjah, Muharram, wa Rajab al-Mudhar. So these are the Ashhur al-Hurum. You know, subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let them understand this concept so that they will not keep fighting each other, you know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let them understand this so that they will not continue to fight each other. Very interesting system, you know. So haram is also a place of protection for them. And also there are at least four months in a year where they cannot fight. They are not allowed to fight, you know. You know, that's why they kept on playing with the months, you know, trying to see kept on playing with the months so that they can fight whenever they want to fight, you know. For instance, they know they cannot fight in Dhul-Qa'dah, so they bring Ramadan and put it in the time in the place of Dhul-Qa'dah. And Dhul-Qa'dah, they will take it to Ramadan because they want to fight in Dhul-Qa'dah, and they know that it is not halal for them to fight, so they will change and replace it with something else. Allah says, إِنَّمَا النَّسِيءُ زِيَادَةٌ فِي الْكُفْرِ يُضَلُّ بِهِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يُحِلُّونَهُ عَامًا وَيُحَرِّمُونَهُ عَامًا. So Allah says, جَعَلَ اللَّهُ الْكَعْبَةَ الْبَيْتَ الْحَرَامَ قِيَامًا لِلنَّاسِ وَالشَّهْرِ الْحَرَامِ. And also Shahr al-Haram was made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to support the life of the people so that they can survive. Allah says, قِيَامًا لِلنَّاسِ وَالشَّهْرِ الْحَرَامَ وَالْهَدِيَ. And also Al-Hadi. Al-Hadi, these are the animals which are which are to be slaughtered when a person perform Hajj, you know, go and slaughter that. So that animal you slaughter when you do the Quran or Tamattu, or when you do Ifrat and you decided to do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ala wajil istihbab, so we call it Hadi. And the other one which we do when we are not in a state of Hajj, we call it Udhiyah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says al-hadi, because usually the Arabs, when they see a person bringing the hadi, they don't attack that person. So that hadi became a means of protection also for them. The same goes to the qala'id. Qala'id, they are the sign, they usually use the shoes to tie on the neck of a camel, showing that these camels are for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be slaughtered when a person reach the al-haram, reach Makkah. So whoever does that, people stay away from him, even if they hate him, but they stay away from him. That will be an act of protection for him, you know. That will be acting as a protection for that person. So Allah says, جَعَلَ اللَّهُ الْكَعْبَةَ الْبَيْتَ الْحَرَامَ قِيَامًا لِلنَّاسِ وَالشَّهْرَ الْحَرَامَ وَالْهَدِي وَالْقَلَائِدِ ذَلِكَ لِتَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he does that so that you guys will know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows exactly what is going on in the heavens and the earth, and everything is under his control. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wish, he would just leave the Arabs to live in the way they are. You know, subhanAllah, before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even reached them, they might be finishing themselves completely, long ago. So, because as I said, they always fight, you know. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help them to have these cultural practices, these rituals, whereby life could be protected in that place, and it really works. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to understand that yes, he knew what is going on. He knows whatever is happening in that region. So he says, ذَلِكَ لِتَعْلَمُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. And also to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows everything. Subhanallah, khassas thumma ammam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that which is in the heavens and the earth. And you should know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually is aware of everything. He knows everything with no restriction. That is nothing which is out of the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال فأخبر سبحانه وتعالى أن القصد بالخلق والأمر أن يعرف بأسمائه وصفاته. So from all of these quotations, the ayat mentioned by Ibn Qayyim, we understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that the real purpose of the creation, and also the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that has been Sharia and everything that comes out of the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is for the sake of remembrance of Allah, to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His names and His attributes. وَيُعْبَدَ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ, and to be worshipped alone, without associating any partner with Him. وَأَن يَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ, and also people to be standing upon the truth, in whatever they do, to be just in all of their affairs and their activities. وَهُوَ الْعَدْلُ الَّذِي قَامَتْ بِهِ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ, and this is the justice in which the heavens and the earth were standing upon. If this balance is taken, the heavens and the earth will never be maintaining their own position. Everything is standing by justice. If there is no justice, nothing can remain in this life. كما قال تعالى لقد أرسلنا رسلنا بالبينات وأنزلنا معهم الكتاب والميزان ليقوم الناس بالقسط. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Hadid, He says لقد أرسلنا رسلنا بالبينات, we have sent our prophets and messengers بالبينات. بالبينات, with clear evidence and signs which are more than enough to convince anyone who is looking for the truth, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as well as the rest of the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have come to human beings with the truth. So he says, أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُولَنَا بِالْبَيِّنَةِ وَأَنزَلْنَا مَعَهُمُ الْكِتَابَ, and we have sent them along with them the book. That's why we say every prophet, every messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought a book to his people. وَأَنزَلْنَا مَعَهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْمِيزَانِ, and also the mizan, the scale. لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ, so that people will be standing upon justice, فَأَخْبَرَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى أَنَّهُ أَرْسَلَ رُسُولَهُ وَأَنزَلَ كُتُوبَهُ لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ وَهُوَ الْعَدْلِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that He has sent His messengers, and also He sent down the books, to the people. For what reason? So that people will be standing upon the truth and justice. وَمِنْ أَعْظَمِ الْقِسْطَ التَّوْحِيدِ, and one of the greatest justice, and actually not one of the greatest justice is the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The greatest justice is Tawheed. No Tawheed, no justice. Because the only one that deserves our justice more than anybody else is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then other forms of justice will come and take place. But the first one who deserves your justice from A to Z is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What else is given to you by somebody else? Nothing. Everything you are enjoying in this life, everything you are living with in this life is granted to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How is it possible for you to take His right and give it to somebody else? He created you. He provides you with all types of risk, with the air to breathe, which is the real, any blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that constitutes your life. No air to breathe, no oxygen, no life. You already know that. You just have a few moments to live, a full moment to survive. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted you this one free of charge. And also He granted you the water to drink, because He knew that there is no way for you to survive without it. Also free of charge. If you don't want the clean one we are drinking, you want to go to the river, it's free of charge. You want to dig a well and take it, it's free of charge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided you with everything. All of these ni'am that you are enjoying, wallahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted you those ni'am. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not want you to get it, you will never get it. Even if the whole world is trying to pass it to you, it will never happen. They might bring all the blessings, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take the power and ability from you to make use of it. That's for somebody else and not yours. By name it is yours, but that's for somebody else, not yours. So the source of ni'mah, you know, and the blessing is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So since this is the case, how is it possible for somebody to take his right and give it to another person? You know? What are we doing, you know? When you take the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and pass it to somebody, what do you call that? Injustice. That's why Ibn al-Qayyim says, the greatest justice is the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The greatest justice is the tawheed of Allah. He said, one of them, then we put it in a better way. The greatest justice, not one of the greatest, but the greatest justice, ala al-itlaq, is the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهُوَ رَأْسُ الْعَدْلِ وَقِوَامُهُ. And it's the root of the adl and the peak of the adl, justice. وَإِنَّ الشِّرْكَ ظُلْمٌ. قَالَ تَعَالَى إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. And also a shirk, associating partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is oppression, you know, it's oppression. The worst type of oppression you can ever see in your life is shirk, to associate partner with Allah. Allah says, إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-An'am, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْأَمْنُ وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. Those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they never mix their iman with shirk, he says, with oppression. So that's why the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when they heard this word from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ, they never mixed their iman with oppression. They said, أَيُّنَا لَمْ يَظْلِمْ نَفْسَهُ. Who is that person among us that never oppressed himself? No. Who is that amongst us who never oppress others? So it was very tough, you know, for them to understand this ayah, because they couldn't digest it, you know. What exactly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to here? Otherwise, everyone is going to get into trouble, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala based the success in this life on this fact that he had mentioned in this ayah. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْأَمْنُ وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. He said, these are the ones that will be guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and also will be granted peace in this life and the hereafter. So they said, okay, that means we're not included, because we all oppress ourselves, you know, from time to time, and we oppress others. But then they complained to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because they know he is the best in terms of interpretation, tafsir, and he is the only one who can tell you the best meaning of that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended with the revelation. So they asked him about that, and they told him their concern. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, no, laysa kama tadhunnun. He said, it's not in the way you are expecting. أَوَلَمْ تَسْمَعُ إِلَىٰ الْقَوْلِ الْعَبْدِ الصَّالِحِ. Didn't you hear from the statement of the righteous slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Luqman, when he says, يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. He said, my son, do not associate partner with Allah, because associating partner with Allah is a very big and a great oppression. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ, he is referring to this, you know, he's referring to this thing which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi mentioned to be the shirk, which is associating partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Ibn Qayyim says, he says, قَالَ تَعَالَىٰ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ فَالشِّرْكُ أَعْظَمُ الظُّلْمِ وَالتَّوْحِيدُ أَعْدَلُ الْعَدْلِ. He says, shirk is the worst type of oppression, in the way tawheed is the greatest justice. If you're looking for justice, the tawheed is the peak of justice. فَمَا كَانَ أَشَدَّ مُنَافَاتًا لِهَذَا الْمَقْصُودِ فَهُوَ أَكْبَرُ الْكَبَائِرِ. So anything that is negating this purpose, the purpose of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone without associating partner with him and establishment of tawheed, anything that negates this, you know, this will be أكبر الكبائر, the greatest sin. That's why the hadith mentioned shirk to be the greatest amongst the major sins. وَتَفَاوْتُهَا فِي دَرَجَاتِهَا بِحَسْبِ مُنَافَاتِهَا لَهُ. And the shirk is of different types, you know. You know, shirk is of different types. It's not the same in nature. وما كان أشد موافقة لهذا المقصود فهو أوجب الواجبات وأفرض الطاعات. And whatever agrees, you know, with this purpose of life, which is to worship Allah Subhanahu wa Taala alone without associating partner with Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, this will be the greatest wajib, you know, the most important wajib a Muslim is dealing with. قال فتأمل هذا الأصل هذا الأصل حق التأمل واعتبر به تفاصيل واعتبر به تفاصيله تعرف به حكمة أحكم الحاكمين وأعلم العالمين فيما فرضه على عباده وحرمه عليهم وتفاوت مراتب الطاعات والمعاصي. He said, I really want you to ponder and try and understand this fact correctly. Understand it correctly, you know, and reflect upon it, you know. He said, if you reflect upon it, you will definitely understand, you will definitely understand the wisdom behind the creation and the prescription of all of these things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Sharia. And also the wisdom of Alam al-Alameen, you know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Alam al-Alameen, the most knowledgeable one. You know, his knowledge, you know, has no restriction at all, and whatever we have is little in comparison to that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. And actually, he is the source of knowledge. His knowledge has no end. Ours is limited, you know. No matter how much great is your knowledge, in comparison to that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yours is useless. So if you understand this fact that we have mentioned, you know, you will understand the wisdom behind the prescription in the Sharia, the existence of the Sharia itself, and the wisdom behind the prohibition that exists in the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also the reason why people are different in terms of their iman. You know, they are not equal in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everyone is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to his righteousness and his evil deed. If a person is so evil, he will be taken away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more righteous you are, the closer you are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال فلما كان الشرك بالله منافيا بالذات لهذا المقصود كان أكبر الكبائر على الإطلاق وحرم الله الجنة على كل مشرك. Ibn Qayyim says, so shirk is, and as a matter of fact, shirk is negating this tawheed from A to Z. That's why the shirk becomes the worst type of sin that somebody ever did to go against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The worst type of sins is the shirk. To get it, the worst type of shirk, sins is the shirk. وَحَرَّمَ اللَّهُ الْجَنَّةَ عَلَى كُلِّ مُشْرِكٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Jannah prohibited upon a mushrik. There is no way for a mushrik to go to paradise. That's why that statement of some of the scholars of this contemporary era, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide them, when they are making dua for a kafir who died, you know, a kafir who died in kufr. You know, I remember when the Pope died, this is a Christian, you know, the leader, the top in Christianity, you know, number one in Christianity according to that denomination. When he died, and the least you can do and just is to keep quiet, you know. But as a Muslim, why would you say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him? Knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا كَانَ لِلْنَبِيِّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن يَسْتَغْفِرُوا لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ وَلَوْ كَانُوا أُولِي قُرْبَى مِن بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُمْ أَصْحَابُ الْجَحِيمِ. The mushrik, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us not to ask forgiveness for him. No, it's very clear. So if the kafir dies, you know, just keep quiet if you don't want to make any comment, you know, to remind the Muslims. Just keep quiet, it's better. But to come and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him, this is absolutely against the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah At-Tawbah. Leave them with their religion. لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَلَيْدِينِ. Let them do whatever they want, you know. They make their own dua. But you as a Muslim, it is part of your dedication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to ask for forgiveness for those who you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told you that he will never forgive them, whoever they are. If somebody can receive this type of forgiveness, it should be who? The uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You do not get it, you know. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in hadith which is very famous, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to, uh, uh, to, to, to grant him, you know, ability to seek forgiveness for his mother. Allah says no. He says, can I visit her? He said yes. You know, Ibrahim's father, you know, was not a Muslim, or his grandfather, you know, whatever opinion you are taking, you know. Nuh alayhi salam, his wife. Lut alayhi salam, his wife. You know, Nuh alayhi salam, his son. You know, their connection and relationship with others never benefited. If you're going to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive somebody, it should be those ones. Or at least Abu Talib, who supported Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, subhanallah, throughout his life. But that doesn't benefit him that much, you know, to take him out of hell completely. Although it benefited him somehow, where the Prophet ﷺ managed to to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reduce the punishment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did. So Allah made Jannah haram upon the one who died in shirk. Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bih. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never forgive somebody who committed shirk with him. As long as he died in shirk, Allah will never forgive him. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَرْتَدِ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ فَيَمُتْ وَهُوَ كَافِرٌ. Whoever goes against the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and changes his religion to kufr, فَيَمُتْ وَهُوَ كَافِرٌ. And he did not repent until death, Allah says, فَأُولَٰئِكَ حَبِطَتْ عَمَالُهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. All of their deeds will be gone. So he doesn't have any righteousness to grant him ability and capacity to reach paradise, and as such, hell will be the dwelling place for him forever and ever and ever. It will never go out of it. So it's part of al-wala wal-bara to understand this ayah correctly. Allah asks us to be kind to them, but we should know that kindness has its own limitation. We should be kind to them. We should invite them to Islam. We should guide them. But if they refuse to take it and they die in kufr, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told by Allah not to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive those people who died in kufr. So, haram Allahu al-jannata ala kulli mushrik. Anyone who is associated in partner with Allah and he die without repentance, this person will never go to Jannah. Wa abaha damahu wa malahu wa ahlahu li ahli tawheed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make his blood and his family and his wealth, you know, all halal for the people of tawheed. But this one should be understood correctly. It doesn't mean that he should go to any kuffar, any kafir, and take his wealth and his things. No, that's wrong. The Prophet ﷺ lived with them in Medina and he did not do that. He's talking about when it comes to the defense system, this is the jihad. Anyone who's in that battlefield, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make those things that are mentioned halal. Whoever goes to fight Islam in that place, and these are the ones that Ibn Qayyim is referring to. You know, so nobody should misunderstand this, you know, in the incorrect way. The Prophet ﷺ lived with the non-believers next to him. You know, the Jews were there, the Munafiqeen were there, the normal kuffar were there, you know, and he'd never go and just kill like that. This means that the interpretation of some of the younger ones who go and take fatwa from others and do all of these kind of things is not part of the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A Muslim should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and take his religion from the right sources. Okay, so we're talking about jihad. So those people who went out to fight Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their blood is useless. They went to fight the Muslims, you know, their blood is useless. You know, the Muslims do have a right to defend themselves and to fight back also. We are not troublemakers, but we are not meant, you know, to just keep quiet and just watch what is going on. Yeah, nobody says this, you know, and nobody does that, you know. Whether he's kafir, he's Muslim, everyone knows that self-defense is legal in every country. Regardless of how much stupid the law of that country is, they will agree that self-defense is okay. That's why even in some of the Western communities, they even make it in the wrong way. If a person finds himself, his wife been committing zina, you know, these are some of the things they mention. Allah mustan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide them. So they can understand that only Islam can fix the aql of a person, you Allah. Otherwise, how is it possible for somebody to tolerate this statement that if somebody finds somebody attacking his wife, you know, and if you try to defend, you know, to fight that person, you know, if that person fights you back and kills you, he is defending himself. Can you understand this? You know, he's defending himself. By law, he's defending himself. So, yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us. But when a Muslim defended himself, they call him extremist, you know. Why does he do that? A kafir can do all of these useless things you can hear from the, you know, in their own countries, you know. Just like that, somebody will take a gun and open fire on everyone, you know. Subhanallah. Wallahi alhamdulillah ala ni'mat al-Islam. And a person should say alhamdulillah, he is living in the midst of the Muslims, you know. You rarely hear these type of stupidities taking place in our own territories. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not show us the time whereby Muslims would start going against their aql, you know, and start imitating the kuffar in this nature. You know, you hear in the news, you know, from time to time, a person would just take a gun and open fire on everyone in their place, you know. Subhanallah. And what is the comment of the authority? They check, they found he has some mental issues, you know. Why is that mental issue? Because he wasn't a Muslim. If he was a Muslim, there is no mental issue. You know, this is just extremism, you know. With them, it's always mental problem, you know. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to the truth. So a Muslim should just understand this concept properly. We are not troublemakers, and don't cause trouble. Understand the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam properly. He lived with the non-Muslims in a very nice way, you know. A very nice way. Those people who agreed to stay with him in the state of peace, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very kind to them. Very kind to them. They were the ones who were plotting against him, but he never plot against them. Not a single one. You know. But they did. All of them did. All of them did. The munafiqeen in Medina did not relax. You know, they always plot against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Jew, in all of their forms, you know, they plotted against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what did he do? Nothing. He just told them, let's cooperate all together to protect our territory. We don't fight you, don't fight us, and we don't let anyone, you know, fighting you, and you shouldn't let anyone come into Medina to fight us. So let's cooperate and protect the place and protect ourselves. What's wrong with that, you know? Subhanallah. But when you're dealing with an evil brain, you know, evil mentality, you know, no matter how much you try to please them, it will never work. Especially when you deal with the Jews. So this ayah, as I said, should be, this statement of Ibn Qayyim should be understood correctly. Should be understood correctly. وَأَنْ يَتَّخِذُهُمْ عَبِيدًا لَهُمْ. So all of these are talking about the battlefield, you know. Whoever comes and fight the Muslims, you know, the Muslims do have a right to defend themselves and his blood and his wealth and his, his ahl, his family, they are all halal. And also when he is captured, he will become a slave. They do have a right to enslave him. لَمَّا تَرَكُوا الْقِيَامَ بِعُبُودِيَتِي. What was their problem? Because they did not do that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them for. Because there is no way for a person to do that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him to do, except that you find this person living with his fellow brothers and sisters in a state of peace. Where they so corrupt, you know, those enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they don't have the principles of justice with them, you know. Or they didn't talk about justice, but they lost the real one, which is the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why their justice up to date. Look at these Western, you know, mentalities and communities. Their justice is all sometimes, you know, even this one is sometimes, you know, with their own community. But when it comes to others, no. Look at the life that has been wasted, you know. How many Muslims are losing their life in their own territory? And who is behind all of these atrocities? Them. Them. Who is behind every single thing that is taking place in our own territories? I'm talking about the Muslim communities. Go and study very well. You will find them behind all of these things, cooperating with those among us who lost their aql. They took the attribute of what? Animals. Otherwise, how is it possible for you to cooperate with your enemy to come and kill your own people? You know, how is it possible for you to do that? You know. But that's the impact of colonization, which left physically, but it is still there in our own territories. So Muslims should be aware of this. You should know what to do and how to preserve your honor and dignity and preserve your religion first and foremost, and also preserve your country and your people. We should be proud of what we have. We should be proud of ourselves. You shouldn't look at those people at all. Wallahi, I wish I have, I mean, we can see the time whereby Muslims are not looking at them at all. Nowadays, we're at the capacity to move, but unfortunately, we can't. We can't, you know, we have to remove that disease in our brain first. You know, we can't, we cannot do, you know. Before, we used to be the inventors. You know, we brought the people in their consciousness. The science was invented by us, you know. All of these things that they are expanding and benefiting from it, go and read the history, you know. History says, you know, I'm not talking, you know, based on my own opinion, but history is saying that it came from us, you know. How did we manage to let somebody steal it from us? Because of our own attitude. So we don't value what we have, of course. And we value what they have. Of course, they will be on top of us. They value what they have, and they disrespect what we have, you know. And they utilize, you know, our own attitude, which is respecting theirs, and we don't respect ours. Allah grant us good and tawfiq. قال وأبى الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يقبل من مشرك عمله. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refused at all, you know, to take and to accept any deed from a mushrik. Whatever he does, it will be useless. Allah says, وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. On the day of judgment, we will bring forward that which they did, you know, whatsoever that deed is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we will bring it forward and we will turn it into dust. All of their righteousness and their righteous deed, their cooperation, their help, their support to others, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, all of them are going to be sent to waste. قال وأبى الله أن يقبل من مشرك عملا أو يقبل فيه شفاعة. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also refused to accept any intercession, you know, from anyone for a mushrik. It doesn't work. Once he goes to hell, he will never go out of it completely. He would never go out of it at all. أو يستجيب له في الآخرة دعوة. And also on the day of judgment, no matter how much they call upon Allah, they beg Allah, Allah will never listen to them. أو يقيل له فيها عثرة. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never forgive. إقالة العثرة means to forgive, to pardon somebody. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never do that. The mistakes they did will never be forgiven. فإن المشرك أجهل الجاهلين. The one who is committing shirk is the worst type of ignorance. You know, amongst the ignorance, you know, the worst type of ignorance is shirk. And the mushrik is really jahil. Worse than that if you have such a thing. حيث جعل له من خلقه ندا وذلك غاية الجهل به. Yeah, because how is it possible for somebody who understands who Allah is, but at the same time he is associating partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How? That's an absolute ignorance, you know. وَذَلِكَ غَيَةُ الْجَهَلِ كَمَا أَنَّهُ غَيَةُ الظُّلْمِ مِنْهُ. And so it is ignorance and it is also oppression at the same time. وَإِنْ كَانَ الْمُشْرِكُ لَمْ يَظْلِمْ رَبَّهُ وَإِنَّمَا ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ. Although, you know, as a matter of fact, the mushrik who is committing shirk is not oppressing Allah. You know, in reality, he's not oppressing Allah. He's oppressing who? Himself. He's oppressing himself. Because whatever you do, which is against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it comes back to you. قال فصل ووقعت مسألة وهي أن المشرك إنما قصده تعظيم جناب الرب تعالى. So this is a new chapter that Ibn al-Qayyim says, ووقعت مسألة وهي. He said there is an issue here, and he's going to be discussing the issue of shufa, intercessors. You know, intercessors, why do they exist, you know? Why do they exist? And actually, he will be dealing with a misunderstanding here. You know, some people misunderstood, you know, a fact that putting a barrier between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is shirk, because you're invoking that one. You think that, yes, if you talk to him, you ask him to provide you, he will convey your message to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you are equating this thing or person, you know, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Ibn al-Qayyim says, وَوَقَعَتْ مَسْأَلَةٌ وَهِيَ أَنَّ الْمُشْرِكَ إِنَّمَا قَصْدُهُ تَعْظِيمُ جَنَابِ الرَّبِّ. He says some of the mushrikeen, they will tell you that our intention is to respect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, is respect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're committing sin day and night. We don't have the capacity and the purity to approach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ourselves. We should put some intermediaries because you cannot do it yourself. Why? Because you are a sinner. وَأَنَّهُ لِعَظَمَتِهِ لَا يَنْبَغِ الدُّخُولُ عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا بِالْوَصَائِدِ وَالشُّفَعَاءِ. And because Allah is so great, it is not permissible, it is incorrect for a person to approach Him and to get inside His territory, you know, directly. You have to go through a proxy, wakil, you know, somebody who can help you and take you inside. But you yourself, you cannot go. You have to use a means to take you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال كمحل الملوك فالمشرك لم يقصر الاستهانة بجناب الربوبية. Just like the king, when you come to the king, you don't just go to the palace and just get inside. You have to wait first, security to check you first, and then get an appointment, you know, and sometimes also you have to talk to somebody who can talk to the king to let you come, you know. So the mushrik will tell you that this is what we do with the human beings, you know, amongst the kings, amongst the human beings. What do you think about Allah? The one who is greater than everyone, the creator of all the kings, you know. If we do that with the kings, we should do better with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot respect the kings more than the way we respect the king of the kings. So the mushrik thinks that he doesn't, I mean, disrespect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He thinks he's not going against the rububiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِنَّمَا قَصَرَ تَعْظِيمُ. He believes that he is respecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by doing that. وَقَالَ إِنَّمَا أَعْبُدُ هَذِهِ الْوَسَائِطِ لِتُقَرِّبُنِي إِلَيْهِ وَتَجُلَّنِي وَتُنْخِلُنِي عَلَيْهِ. So he says, I'm worshipping these intercessors, and these intermediaries, I'm worshipping them, the idols, or the human beings also, you know. You have nowadays some people, they worship their shuyukh, you know. In the name of the religion, they worship their shuyukh. I heard one of those losers, you know, he was saying that, يُقْسِمُ بِاللَّهِ أن شيخه يقول للشيء كن فيكون. You know, I heard him swearing by Allah. He swears by Allah that his sheikh tells to a thing, kun fayakun, be and it is. So all of these things, and slowly, when you tilt from the sunnah, slowly you go and engage in those activities which are shirk. You know, slowly. When you start going against the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, especially when it comes to the matters of aqidah, you know, a person will end up having this attitude. Is wahdat wujud that Ibn Qayyim will be talking about some of them, you know. Some of these issues, wahdat wujud, everything is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They started from innovations, you know. Slowly, innovation in aqidah, you know. Things have to be done in this way, giving them their own interpretation, you know, skipping the interpretation of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At the end of the day, you find them even making themselves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the person who is committing shirk usually says that, no, I believe it is wrong for me to approach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly, and as such, I should have something between me and Allah, so I will worship that thing, and the thing will take my worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can see how much the aql is gone when there is no support from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why, as I said, my dear brothers and sisters, always be happy, you know. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes you amongst Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. You know, Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, I mean by them somebody who follows the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam precisely according to the understanding of the companions, the Tabi'in, the Tabi'at Tabi'in. You know, these are the ones that I'm referring to. I'm not talking about anybody else, because you have this word being used by everyone. Everyone is calling himself Sunni, you know. Everyone is calling himself, we are Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, you know. Tablighiyun, Sufiyun, Salafiyun, you know, Ikhwaniyun, you know. Everyone is calling himself Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, Ash'ariyun, Mu'taziliyun. Everyone calls himself Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, you know. The there is a conference they did in Shishan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide that Qadirov. You know, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fix his aql. You know, to redefine, you know, this word Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Do we need a redefinition? We don't need. That word doesn't exist in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was brought by the great scholars to separate between the truth and the falsehood. Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, taken from the word of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, al-Jama'ah. The people, Sunnah, taken from the word of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ana wa ashabi. You know, the thing that I'm upon, those people who are upon my way and the way of my companion. That's why they got Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. What does that mean? A person who is dedicating themselves to the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam precisely, according to the understanding of the righteous predecessors. And who are they? The companions and the tabi'een, and the tabi'een are those who follow the companions precisely with ihsan. You know, take this way, my dear brothers and sisters. This is the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to behave until you meet Him. Muslim who follows Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever tells you something, you know, all of these things that we are debating nowadays, you know, celebrations and things which are coming nowadays from time to time, and people are talking every year, the Muslims are busy discussing these matters, you know. The question is, what happened to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Why can't you go back to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and see what he did? Forget about what this person says. This person says halal, this person says haram, you know. And subhanAllah, you find a person who is not following the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, maybe smoking, maybe even drinking, having the free mixing, having all of these kind of stupidities, you know, selling haram, buying haram. But tomorrow, when it comes to the celebration, he is raising the flag of what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya akhi, the real following of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is what? Is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, and to follow his sunnah precisely. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِ يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهِ. Otherwise, how do you explain this? You know, a person who is rejecting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam throughout his life, and today he comes to do whatever he called to be the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which he himself also, he didn't know where does it come from. So what I'm saying, I'm not here to discuss this, whether halal or haram, but my question is, who are you to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? This is what we should be asking ourselves. This is what we should be asking ourselves. And that's the reason why I said you guys should be very happy. Wallahi, as long as you're following the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is your manhaj. You know, according to the understanding of the companions, you should always say Alhamdulillah. Because you're protected. And you will be protected as long as you hold upon this, because the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith of Al-Irbad ibn Sariyah, when he talked about the fitan and the calamities and the trials, he said the only way out and the protection a Muslim has is to hold upon the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sunnah of the Khulafa al-Rashidin. He said, "Addu alayha bin nawajid, wa iyyakum bi muhdathat al-umur." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Stay away from innovated matters, things which are introduced to the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but unfortunately they are not part of it." That's how we go slowly, 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 and we include innovation in the aqidah, and the person will wake up and find himself going against Islam and going out of Islam completely. So we should wake up, my dear brothers and sisters. As I said, don't think of anything, any title, other than following Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Salafus Saleh. You know, Salafus Saleh means the first three generations, companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tabi'in and tabi'in, those who are following the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in righteousness. So, in Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, you know, the real Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, by now you know who I mean by Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah is somebody who is precisely following the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the authentic ones. Not the fake ones, because there are some people who think that whatever is said to be said by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is okay to be used. What kind of thinking is this? If I come and attribute a word to you which you did not say, you will fight me. Why would you accept attribution of a word to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam anyhow? You know, the scholars wasted their time, you know, to provide you with a system that helps you to filter, you know, the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to make sure that people don't lie, because there are some people who don't fear Allah. They lie, and they attribute the lie to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the name of religion, sometimes they do it. Why do you tell people to come and accept everything which is said to be mentioned by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How is it possible that you just believe that everything somebody says he said, it is correct, you know? You know, even against the common sense, you know. It is even against the common sense. Alhamdulillah, Allah SWT granted us those jihadida. They work day and night to make sure that they tell the believers which one is the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and which one is not. You know, so that we will know what to take and what we reject. So authentic sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, according to the interpretation of the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That's the meaning of Ahl Sunnah wa Al Jama'ah. If you are following this, say Alhamdulillah. Always thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because we worship Allah directly without having any intermediaries, anyone between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, that's the good thing about being a Sunni person, a real Sunni, not the so-called Sunni who is following his own shuyukh and innovations. No, a true Sunni who is following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that person doesn't have any intermediary. He goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. He raises up his hand and asks Allah. He doesn't go to the Shaykh and ask the Shaykh so that the Shaykh can take his dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't even do that with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the companions did not do that with Rasulullah. They go straightforward to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask. Because they know Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them not to do it because it is shirk. So they don't make him a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to the truth. قال وإنما أعبد هذه الوسائط لتقربني إليه وتدلني وتدخلني عليه فهو المقصود. So the mushrik always say that I worship these things so that they can take me to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they can guide me towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is my objective. You know, I'm not saying they are equal to Allah, but I'm saying that I cannot go to him directly. I have to come to them first. They can put me, they can take me to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he worships them so that they can take him to Allah. وَهَذِهِ وَسَائِلُ وَشُفَاءَ فَلِمَا كَانَ هَذَا الْقَدْرُ مُوجِبًا لِسَخَطِهِ وَغَضَبِهِ تَبَارَكُ وَتَعَالَى. So they will tell you, why do you think that this is going to invite the wrath and the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the person? We don't say they are Allah, we just put them as intermediaries, you know, as a means to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How is it possible for you to mention that they are the thing that are inviting and causing a person to be cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and also to have the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala been visiting him? And how is it possible for somebody who is trying to respect Allah, but at the end of the day, he went to hell forever? What are you talking about? And also, it makes the blood of those people who are committing the same attitude halal for the believers to get them. And also, it makes their family halal and their wealth halal. Why is it going on? These people, they tell you that we are respecting Allah. How is it possible also at the end of the day, you know, we go to hell, they said. So Ibn al-Qayyim is going to address this matter. بإذن الله عز وجل. قال ويترتب على هذا سؤال آخر وهو أنه هل يجوز أن يشرع الله سبحانه وتعالى لعباده التقرب إليه بالشفاء والوسائل. Is it from here we also generate another question, which is, is it halal? Is it possible to have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it possible to find in the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala something that says that it is part of our sharia to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through intermediaries? فَيَكُونُ تَحْرِيمُ هَذَا إِنَّمَا اسْتُفِيدَ مِنَ الشَّرَعِ. So if this is the case, then the impermissibility will be understood from the sharia, not from the aql, no, it's from the sharia. Because if it is possible, in terms of possibility, it is possible, then we learn that it is haram because of sharia saying it is haram, not because of the aql. Because shirk is rejected by the aql and the consciousness. But if you say it is even possible to have it in the sharia, then even if the aql detests it, we say, okay, we don't care about the aql as long as the possibility is there. Then we have to wait for the sharia to tell us whether it is halal or haram. قال أم ذلك قبيح في الفطر والعقول. He says, or it is something that is actually rejected by the fitra and the aql. Even Aql doesn't accept it. Is it something that is rejected by the Sharia? The Aql can accept it? Or is it so, or it is something which the Aql doesn't even accept it? وَالْعُقُولُ يَمْتَنِوا أَن تَأْتِي بِهِ شَرِيَةً. You know, Aqlan, is it possible, you know, logically to have Sharia even mentioning this the possibility of having intermediaries between Allah SWT and His creations? بَلْ جَاءَتِ الشَّرَائِعُ بِتَقْرِيرِ مَا فِي الْفِطَرِ وَالْعُقُولُ مِنْ قُبْحِ الَّذِي هُوَ أَقْبَحُ مِنْ قُبْحِ مِنْ كُلِّ قَبِحٍ وَمَسْرُ فِي كَوْنِهِ. He says, we found the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasizing, you know, on that which is rejected by the fitra. You know, because fitra, you know, the natural disposition, the nature of a person, if it is not distorted, you know, and changed by the environment or the family, it is rejecting anything that Sharia rejected. You know, you will never find a fitra taking and accepting or condoning something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala detests. قال وما السر في كونه لا يغفر من بين لا يغفره من بين سائر الذنوب. And what is the secret behind Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not forgiving shirk? You know, although He forgives other sins, but shirk Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't forgive it. Allah says, إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never forgives shirk, but He forgives something that is lower than shirk, the Muslims, you know, if a Muslim commit a sin which is lower than shirk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can forgive that. Even if a person happened to die before repentance, he is under the mashia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah wishes, He will forgive him. If Allah doesn't want, He will take him to hell for a while and then take him to paradise after that. فَتَأَمَّلْ هَذَا. Ibn Qayyim says you should focus and reflect upon this fact. وَاجْمَعْ قَلْبَكَ وَذِهِنَكَ عَلَى جَوَابِهِ was وَلَا تَسْتَهْوِنُهُ. Ibn Qayyim says you have to gather your heart and your attention, you know, to the answer that we're going to give. Don't you ever neglect it and don't you ever belittle it, you know. Take it a very serious matter. So Ibn Qayyim is indirectly telling you that I'm going to give you the answer to these questions and I really need your attention and your focus. فَإِنَّ بِهِ يَحْصُلُ الْفَرْقُ بَيْنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ الْمُوَحِّدِينَ. Because the difference between the mushrikeen and the muwahideen, the muslimin, you know, who have the tawheed, lies in this answer that I'm going to give. وَالْعَالِمِينَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْجَاهِلِينَ بِهِ. And those people who have knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the ignorant. وَأَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ وَأَهْلِ النَّارِ. And also it's a separation between, the barrier between the people of Jannah and the people of hell. قال فنقول وبالله التوفيق. And then Ibn Qayyim started with the answers. He said, in this regard, we say وبالله التوفيق. So I will keep the answer, inshallah, to the next class, بإذن الله عز وجل. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you good and tawfiq in life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it and make us among the muwahideen. إنه بكل جميل كفيل. عبد الرحمن, I pass the mic back to you. نعم عبد الرحمن.
First question is by sister Victor. شيخ, في مشكلة مع الكاميرا؟
يا الآن. أذن استقامت.
First question is رفقة.
والله ربما المشاكل تجي من جد عبد الرحمن لما تتكلم يا بدأ.
هذه الأيام
اللي الله مستعان.
The question says, is believe that the non-Muslims are not supposed to be in
Haramain. The non-Muslims are not supposed to be in?
In the Haramain.
Okay. Yeah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded us to take them out of the Haramain. Zainab. Yeah, Nadi Umak. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded us to take them away from the desert al-Arabiya. I think that is an issue with the camera. I'm trying to fix the camera. Okay. As I was saying, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded us not to let them stay in that place, in the Haram. Actually, not just the Haram, Jazirat al-Arabiya. They're not supposed to be in that place at all. That's one. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا الْمُشْرِكُونَ نَجَسٌ فَلَا يَقْرَبُ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَمُ بَعْدَ عَمِيمِ هَذَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called them najis. They are not supposed to come closer to the Haram after the year where the surah was revealed. Surah Tawbah. So we learn from this that they're not supposed to come to those areas unless if there is a great darura for that. You know, we need them for the services, you know, and we cannot provide this services by having a Muslim to do it. Then we look for them. You know, I don't know what else cannot be provided by the Muslims nowadays, but if there is something which the Muslim cannot do it, or we don't have a Muslim to do it, you know, then we can seek the help of the non-Muslim to come and do it, even if it is in the area of the Haram, inshallah. Other than that, we can't. But as I said, nowadays, honestly speaking, I don't know. Go ask your mother. I don't know anything which the Muslim cannot do in the way we need to invite other than the Muslims. No. Yeah. Okay, so, wallahu alam, Abraham.
So, Sheikh, you mentioned that you came across the fact that there are a lot of Muslims in Medina.
Rahman, sautuka manhafid.
Is it clear now?
Mumtaz.
She's mentioning that she came across the fact that there is a lot of non-Muslims in Medina these days. So is it okay what happened? Is it permissible?
Yeah, that's why I said this Jazirat al-Arabiya should be only for the Muslims. If there is a need, you bring a non-Muslim for a need, that would be okay. But when there is no need, you know, I don't know what kind of need is there, you know. That's why the questions that the scholars kept on asking those people who did that, they kept on asking them, what is the need? Why do you need to bring him? You know, you don't have any Muslim who does that. But sometimes they tell you that they bring him because he can have a full time to work, you know, subhanallah. Full time to work because he doesn't go and pray, he doesn't do this and that. You know, you can see this hujjah, saqima, you know. Subhanallah. And I remember somebody, they got him, I was there, you know, they asked him, did you ever give da'wah to the non-Muslim that are with you? He said, no, they already know. Why would I talk to them? They already know about Islam, you know. Anyway, so these are these type of things. They have a lot of politics in them, so it doesn't benefit, you know. The Sharia says something, and somebody else has something else, you know. Allah guides the truth.
question by Salima.
Assalamu alaikum.
I go in the morning and evening at God. What is the most mentioned or the most favorite dhikr of the Prophet Sallallahu
What is the
most recited or the most favorite dhikr by Rasulullah
Istighfar. Because he does istighfar a lot. You know, in a day, the scholars, the companion said, we count around 70 times of istighfar, or even more than that, from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
Question by Sister Saada. A Muslim driver mistakenly hits and pulls a person on a road where it's prohibited for pedestrians to cross. And the law of the place doesn't blame the driver due to the prohibition. Does the Muslim have to fast 60 days?
Abdurrahman, can you repeat the question, please? I miss it.
The question is, if a Muslim driver mistakenly kills a person on the road...
He mistakenly killed somebody.
Yeah?
He killed somebody by mistake.
No.
Okay.
On a road where it's prohibited for the pedestrians to walk across. And the law of that the place where it happened doesn't blame the driver because it was the person's mistake was
mistakes.
Walking on the road where he should not be walking. So does the Muslim in this case have to fast 60 days?
Yes. If he kills a Muslim, he has to do the kafara, even if that person was wrong in his action and you kill him, still the ruling is applicable.
So there's also
diya. Yeah, the diya. He pays diya and then he goes for the kafara and the diya, both. فَدِيَةٌ مُسَلَّمَةٌ وَتَحْرِيرُ رَقَبَةٍ مُؤْمِنَةٍ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ فَسْيَامُ شَهْرَيْنِ مُتَتَابِعَيْنِ If he doesn't find the slave, you know, to free them, then he fasts 2 months continuously.
The second question is, does the concession of skipping a fast for the traveler only happen while actively traveling, or a person can skip fasting even after he reaches his destination when he returns to his place of residence?
No, when you return, then you cannot skip the fast. You have to fast. But let's say you're coming from Saudi to Malaysia, you're already not fasting, and then you reach Malaysia at Dhuhr time. You can keep eating, you know, but you just have to hide it, you know, because you are not fasting. Even if you you close your mouth, it is just useless, you know. You can continue to eat, and there will be no issue, inshallah. You get it? But when you reach Malaysia before, let's say, Fajr, then you have to fast tomorrow. You have to fast tomorrow. Yeah, like that is the truth.
So is there any number of ways for a person to put this concession, like Salah, we have like 4 days, the person's traveling 4 days, then he can shoot up the prayers. Is there a similar concession when it comes to fasting?
When it comes to fasting? No. When it comes to fasting, there is no restriction. As long as the safar is there, as long as the journey is there, a person has a right to stay away from fasting.
Question by Fawda.
Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum.
We talked about bid'ah today. And as we know from the usul, it says, أصل في العادات الإباحة والأصل في العبادات التحريم. So when it comes to marriage, there are some extra events that take place other than the wedding and the ibadah itself. What is the ruling regarding that? Are they from the ibadah?
No. No, they are from the Mu'amalat. As long as they don't contradict the Sharia, they are okay. As long as they don't contradict the Sharia and they don't put people in a state of difficulty, they are okay. Inshallah.
Another question that was asked. Is Rasulullah as a means of wasila?
The question says?
Using Rasulullah as a means of wasila. Is it a bid'ah or is it a
good? We don't do. They don't do it, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They Umar radiallahu anhu asked Al-Abbas to stand up and make dua. He said, Ya Allah, we used to come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was alive and to ask him to make dua for us. And now he is dead, we are going to ask his uncle Al-Abbas to make dua for us. And he told Abbas, he said, Kum ya Abbas, fadullah alana. And he told Abbas to stand up and make dua for them. And Al-Abbas stood up and make dua for them. That's how it should be done, inshallah. And I don't know why people can't go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala straightforward. You know, people, you know, they like to bring their own ways, you know. And to now, I don't understand why a person cannot just go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly in the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do. Why does he need to put somebody else, you know? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you're putting, he did not do. He did not ask the companions to do that. Why do you do that, you know? Why can't you go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and it's straightforward, you know? Allah guide us to truth. Yes, Abdurrahman. It depends on what he did. If he just asking using the, what he called, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not thinking that the Prophet has the capacity to take his dua. I mean, if he's asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but using, because those mushriki, they ask the idol, they ask the sheikh, you know, the sheikh will go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that one who is using the Jahin Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will tell him this is not the way to be made.
So we can say that depends on the person's intention.
Yeah, it depends on that. No, it's wrong to do, but you don't call him to call him a mushrik. It depends on the reason why he's doing.
Question by Khalid.
Salam, Khalid.
Is the narration of the revelation of the ayat of inheritance?
Oh, that question, Khalid, I totally forgot, you know. I think it's the same question he asked last time, right? Khalid, please send me the what do you call, the Arabic text to my personal WhatsApp, inshallah. Yeah, I saw it and I totally forgot. That's why even you, the moment you say Khalid, I remember that question.
We have another question about Jama'ah. Can I join the Salah if the Imam is on the second asleep?
Yeah, and join the Salah if the Imam is in the second Taslim?
No,
last Taslim, the second Taslim, right? Yeah, no. The prayer is already over. Right after the first one, the prayer is gone.
So he should just wait.
He just look for somebody to pray with or go home and pray. Yeah, before the first one, yes. Before the first Taslim, even 1 second before the first Taslim, you can join. Okay, then, inshallah. Okay, barakallahu feekum wa ahsana ilaykum fi dunya wal akhirah. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يكرمكم ويرفعكم ويعلي شأنكم في الدنيا والآخرة إنه بكل جميل كفيل سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته